I don't know how many times I've seen that, and it still gets me every time. This morning, we're going to open God's Word, and we're going to look at the story of a man who needed Jesus and the story of the gift that God couldn't wait to give. Let's open God's Word this morning. Let's look to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached this spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." What is it that we are waiting for? What is it that we are longing for? What is that gift that we just can't wait to give, where it would totally change the way we view things? G.K. Chesterton, an early English writer, said that those who are hungering and seeking relationships outside of marriage are longing for God. I think he's right. I think those who continue to buy lottery tickets in order to get rich are looking for God. Those who long to fill their life with drugs and alcohol are longing for God. Every person that seeks to be defined by their career is looking for God. I think the problem is we don't give God a second look in our world today. We run by the presents that are right in front of us, the gifts that are in front of us, to look for something else. So what would it be like? What would it be like if we had it all? If you and I had wealth, if we had power, if we had position, if we had the person of our dreams in our life, you have the person of your dreams, in our life, would life be that much more rewarding? I believe those things are good and wonderful, but they wouldn't make us any happier. Solomon, one of the wisest men to have existed and a very wealthy man, said this about having it all. "It was meaningless, meaningless, a chasing after the wind." The Australian millionaire Carl Rabiter gave everything away Because he was brought up that if you work hard and you made lots of money, you would be happy. And he found out that it had nothing to do with it. Having it all could never fill that hole within the heart of humanity. So let me ask, what is there in the hearts of those to whom you know that is still lacking? Was it in our lives, in the busyness of it, that needs to be filled? And how can it be filled? I want to tell you the answer. The answer is found in the significance of Jesus. Our passage tells us that. And it says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Now you need to understand something here very profoundly about the culture. This is a Middle Eastern culture. Hospitality is everything. If you were to talk to me, for me not to engage in a conversation would be not only rude, it would be downright insulting. For me not to invite you over for something to drink or something to eat would have been out of the question. And when I invited you over, you better not just want to stay for 5 minutes. A cup of tea would have taken probably about an hour. A meal would have taken all day. Now picture, here is Jesus coming into the Middle Eastern culture scenario, and he's beginning to build a relationship. He's done that all the way along, hasn't he? I mean, Jesus came and he hung around tax collectors and prostitutes. He began to break down the cultural norms. I meant, he went to the sick, which would have left him defiled. He spoke to women. You did not talk to a woman unless it was your wife. He went in and talked to the outcasts rather than spending the time with the wealthy and the proud. He began to engage in people's life. And here's what I love about Jesus. They were hungry. And Jesus fed the 5,000, the 10,000. They were sick. And Jesus cured them. They were being rejected like the prostitute who was going to be stoned. And Jesus came and said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. But then Jesus gave them what they really needed. He gave them himself. He gave them the gift that kept on giving. He gave them life and joy and hope and peace. Jesus, as the ultimate gift, began to engage in the story of humanity so that you and I would have life and have it to the full. Let me tell you quickly the story of a guy named John. John was a guy who had it all. John was going through university. He had top grades in his class. John was the top in his fraternity. He could date any girl that he wanted to, and he did. Everybody idolized John and wanted to be like John, but John had this deep aching within his being. And then he heard some guy talk about God. I mean, he had heard it before, and I mean, God, really? I mean, life is going pretty well for me. But then he heard it again, and it began to ring true for John. Maybe there was something to this Jesus. Maybe this Jesus really did and could fill the abyss, the emptiness, the longing within his heart. But could he really accept it? I mean, look at how everybody would look at him. I mean, everybody thinks he's got his life all together. But God kept on knocking. And it was as if God was trying to get his attention, because over the next little while, he heard this same guy use words like this. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the gate. Whoever comes to me will have life and will have it abundantly. Does it sound familiar? Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher and mathematician, said there is a trace of happiness within each and every one of us, but is not fulfilled because there is something longing within each of us that only God could fill. So what does it look like when God comes and he fills that emptiness, that void, the abyss in our lives? It looks like this: peace. That deep and overriding assurance and comfort. It is contentment no matter what the circumstances of our lives, because we know that God is with us. It's acceptance. Maybe for the very first time hearing that we belong, that we matter to God, that we're valued, and that we have purpose. Do we know Jesus this morning? Have you been made new by Jesus? Well, let me tell you how you can be made new by Jesus. It's actually quite simple. He does all the work. He just simply says, come to me, give me your life, and say that you trust me alone for everything that you need, and I'll come to be with you, and I will fill you with exceeding joy. See, there is a significance that happens when you and I meet Jesus. Here is a man named Zacchaeus. What brings Zacchaeus to Jesus? Now, Jesus was entering Jericho by way of Judea and Perea. Jericho is a major trade route along the way, so it would not be uncommon for Jesus to stop here. And here is a guy named Zacchaeus. He is not only a tax collector, he is the chief tax collector. Now, they were despised because they collected taxes from everybody. Now, they could add on fees and they could keep whatever wasn't required to go to the empire. Now, here's the three taxes that he would go around and collect. He would collect a tax on produce and crops, our GST and our HST. Did you know that GST and HST was already there in Middle Eastern culture? The universal tax, that's our income tax and our property tax. And then there was the custom tax that was brought in on things that were brought in from other provinces. We can call that our duty. Nobody liked him because he was always after their money. He's alienated. He's an outcast. If anyone looked at him, it was probably to settle the score. The religious leaders wanted nothing to do with him. And then to go to his house, I mean, people would rather die than go to the house of Zacchaeus. Would they invite him to Starbucks? Absolutely not. Would they have been brought a gift like that little boy brought his parents a gift? I highly doubt it. But it still begs a question. Why does Zacchaeus want to go and see Jesus? He's curious, to be sure. But now picture, here's this short little guy coming to see Jesus, and it's full of people. And I can guarantee you, nobody was going to move out of the way for Zacchaeus to get a look. Now, when Jesus is there and he looks up, and here's what we read. Zacchaeus, come down immediately, I must stay at your house. So he came down at once and welcomes him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. And I believe Zacchaeus' heart was so empty, although he had everything, is that he wanted, like that guy in the story named John that I mentioned to you, to see if there was more to life than just having everything. What triggers that longing in those around us? What triggers that longing within us for wanting more of God in our lives? Because you see, the story of the significance of Jesus is seen in our passage, where his hospitality is shown as both the guest and the host. I don't know if you've noticed that before, but to do what Jesus did in the context of our passage would have been unheard of. You would never have invited yourself to somebody else's house. Because here's what it meant. It meant that they were probably going to have to feed you. And if they couldn't feed you, they were giving out of the limit of what they had. And they would keep on feeding you until you were full. They would have to engage in conversation. You see, inviting someone over to your house was a sign of acceptance, a sign of belonging. And so Jesus, again, is breaking the cultural norms. But notice as we work through that next part of the text, how Jesus is really a guest in Zacchaeus' house, but Jesus acts more like the host than the guest. Here's what our text says. So he, that is Zacchaeus, ran ahead of Jesus and climbed a sycamore or a fig tree to see him, since he was coming that way. That's Jesus. Now, what Zacchaeus did, again, would have been very unheard of. You see this in the story of the prodigal son, where he runs ahead of Jesus. Jewish men did not run. They did not pick up their robes and run. Can you picture him going like this? I mean, how ludicrous does it look? How humiliating, how degrading. And that's what it would have been like lifting up a dress and running. Men just didn't do that. But then he climbed a sycamore or a fig tree. Now I have a picture of one there. And what's interesting about that is very easy to climb. The branches go out and branches are already close to the ground. So Zacchaeus would have had no problem climbing that tree. He's so desperate to see Jesus that he's willing to do whatever it takes to have an encounter with him. Let's picture a dignitary comes our way. Let's picture Kathleen Wynne or Prime Minister Trudeau coming to Richmond Hill this afternoon. And you so desperately want to see them, have a chance to talk to them. What would you do in order to be able to get close enough to them to have a conversation? That's what Zacchaeus does in our passage. He's going to get as close as he can and get a bird's eye view that he's going to be able to encounter Jesus. Now, Jesus comes along, and notice how Jesus begins this relationship. Jesus looks up. What made Jesus look up? I mean, there were people all the way around him. And then he says, Zacchaeus. I mean, had he met Zacchaeus before? And then he said, come on down, for I want to go to your house. Notice what Jesus does. He begins to engage in Zacchaeus' life when nobody else would. Because they all said, look, he's going to the house of a sinner. And then this dialogue begins to happen. And Zacchaeus goes on and he says, look, if I have taken anybody, if I have cheated, I will repay. Now, how do you know that this story had an impact on Zacchaeus' life? How do you know it was real? Well, let me tell you that it was because Zacchaeus had a changed life. How do you know he had a changed life? Well, first of all, is that he was accepted for the very first time. And he had joy. And when joy begins to well up within you, when you begin and I begin, like Zacchaeus, to experience the joy and the peace and the comfort that is in knowing Christ, you cannot help but be changed and be full of joy and excitement and delight. The next thing we know is that he became very generous. He gave half of his possessions away. Notice that the rabbinical law, or the Mosaic law, only required 10%. Something must have happened to Zacchaeus for him now to give away that vast amount. And then there began a change in the way that he lived. There was restitution. He pays back 20%. The Mosaic law required 20%. He paid back 400% of whatever he took wrongly from those who were around him. And then he was willing to let go of his power. That's quite a change, isn't it? That change that he did in Zacchaeus, God does within you and I. So let me ask you the question. How is the work of Jesus changing your life? Are you willing to climb a tree to humiliate yourself for Christ? Are we willing to let go and allow God to fill our lives? That deep aching, whatever it is within your life this morning, are we willing to invite Jesus into that? Because all we have to do is say, Jesus, come on in, and he will. But also, for those who are around us, what are we willing to do to build stories with the Zacchaeuses of the world? Are we willing to open our story, our lives, to share the working of God? To invite somebody for a meal? To come to church? As a guest into the world, Jesus acts more like the host, doesn't he? Because he gives us everything we need. Jesus engages with us when we don't engage with him. And as host, he meets the deepest need of our heart. Let the change that God is doing within you be the impetus for why we love people. To be the impetus to why we open our doors every day of the week. To be the impetus to why we invite our friends and our neighbors to worship. Because Jesus has come to meet a need that none of us could fill ourselves. And so as you think back to the video that we showed just a few moments ago, to be like that little boy that we can't wait for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning to come, for us to share that story with our friends and for our neighbors. But let's not wait till Christmas Eve. Let's do it today. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's invite our neighbors to the programs tomorrow night. Let's do it next Sunday so that people can know the joy that only Christ can give. Let's pray together. God, you are good. And Lord, we thank you that you come into the world and you engage the world. We thank you for reaching out to the tax collectors, the Zacchaeuses of the world. We thank you that you come into our story. And Lord, I know this morning that for many of us, there is an ache, there's a hurt, there's a longing, there's an unmet need that we need you to speak into this morning. And Lord, in the stillness of our own hearts, may we be able to name that. But also to know that God, you are able to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring assurance, to bring comfort in that area. Allow us, Lord, to lay that at your feet and to leave it there and to trust that you will speak into that, you will take care of it. And Lord, we thank you that as a family, we can do that together. Lord, we want to bring to you the Holschoff family, Lord, as Lika is there in the Netherlands, Lord, after the passing of her grandmother. We pray that you would bring them strength and bring them comfort, Lord. And as they gather there together as a family, Lord, that you would be near them, that they would experience your peace, that the story of faith, the story of your grace in the midst of sorrow would be able to be proclaimed. Would you continue, Lord, to be with Ariel, Lord, after getting a concussion and then getting a second concussion? Lord, we just pray that you would heal her body, Lord. We pray that there would be clear results on her MRI, Lord, and that there may be good news. We pray that there would be no lasting effects from these concussions. And Lord, that you would just strengthen her body. Lord, we also pray that you would be with the DeBoer family, Lord, as they walk through the season, and Lord, they walk to the first anniversary of the passing of their son Liam. Lord, we just pray that you would refresh them, that you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them. We pray that your hand of peace would be on them, Lord. Would you be with Gail? Lord, we just pray that you would be with her in the midst of all that's going on, Lord, that there may be more good days. We pray that you would be with her when days get frustrating. We pray that there would be days, Lord, where there is more and more improvement. Lord, it's getting hard to know what to pray. Because, Lord, we pray for her ultimate and her complete healing, Lord, but in our eyes, in our mind, Lord, it just seems to be taking so long. And yet, Lord, we know that you know the answer. And so, God, whatever that is I'm supposed to be praying this morning, Lord, we just pray that you would refresh her, that you would strengthen her, Lord, that as she is there this morning, that she would just be encouraged and refreshed. And that, Lord, yes, you would be at work healing her body. Would you be with Marianne, Lord, as she serves you in Bolivia? We pray that she and the team that she's with would have a beautiful experience of serving you with the community of faith in the village where she is. We pray that lives would be touched. We pray that the story of Jesus would be told. And Lord, we pray the same thing for Phil and Janetta in Wasna. We pray that they too would be used by you to tell the story of grace through agriculture and medicine. We pray that your people there would be built up. We pray that the story of grace would be told. And so we pray the same thing in our lives, Lord. As we walk closer and closer to Christmas, may we not miss out on the gift, the real meaning of Christmas. And we pray, oh God, that you would use us with a deep and abiding joy in our hearts to tell the story of Jesus for a world that is longing and hungering to hear it, even though they don't realize it. And we pray that this season you may bring more of your children who are outside of the fold of faith back home. Use us to that end, we pray. Amen.